It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Hello, praise the Lord, and welcome to Jesus is the Answer. This is Pastor Peter. I'm going to pray for you and your needs. And I believe that our God is going to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Number is on your screen. Please call and somebody will answer your phone and pray with you. If you want to call your friends to listen to this program, please do so. We are going to talk about second coming of Christ. As you know, last program we learned that there are two phases of second coming of Christ. One, He comes secretly for His bride. That is before the tribulation starts. Because as I said, tribulation cannot start until the church is taken away from the world. And then the 7 years of period, when the 7 years of period finishes, end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ comes with His bride. And that's what we are going to learn. And so there are so many confusions in the second coming of Christ and so many problems, but we are going to study them as we go. Jesus Christ was teaching His disciples in Matthew chapter 24. In that chapter, He explained everything about the coming, first coming, first phase, and the second phase of His coming. And He told them from the book of Daniel. He says, whatever the Daniel says, that abomination or the Antichrist will be defiling the temple. And He says, remember or read the book of Daniel. So I believe that Jesus Christ knew the book of Daniel, and He knew the prophecy about the book of Daniel about His second coming also. But here we read in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation. Actually, immediately after the great tribulation, Jesus Christ comes. But before He comes, something happens. And we learn, when we were learning about the God's wrath was poured upon the earth, and the fifth bowl was poured on the beast's throne, Antichrist's throne, and there was a darkness. And that's the darkness was there, and the Word of God says when Jesus Christ comes, the sun will not... Before He comes, sun will not shine, will not give the light, sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its lights, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the power of heaven will be shaken. This is before Christ comes. That means, before He comes, the world situation will be very bad. People will be in the dark, tormented with different kinds of bowls. We learned that seven bowls will be poured. And when the one bowl is poured on the Euphrates River, the water dries up. And these three evil trinity, dragon, Antichrist, and false prophet, three evil spirits comes out of their mouth, and they go and bring all the nations to fight with the Israeli people and Christ and His armies. At that time, the Word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is coming from heaven, and He comes on the cloud or in the cloud. And that we read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. It says, Jesus Christ was saying the Son of Man will come, but we know the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. And he comes with his great glory and power, and he comes in a cloud. Now, Jesus Christ already told his disciples he is coming in the cloud. Now, some of the people might be thinking, that time the disciples will be on the earth or what? No, he was just educating them, so they will be teaching others, and that teaching came up to us. And now we are teaching that Jesus Christ will come and take his bride, and after 7 years, we will be coming with him in the cloud. And so, if you read the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Daniel says, I saw a night vision. In that night vision, he saw someone like a son of man coming in the cloud. But he starts saying who this son of man is. He said, this is the ancient of time. That means he is saying he's not an ordinary person. He is from the beginning. He is just like an Alpha and Omega. And he is the Son of God. And he is the one coming in the cloud. And he says, why he's coming? He says he is coming to establish his kingdom on earth. And he's talking about millennium. Not only that, he knows that he will come and he fight with his enemy, and then he will start the kingdom on this earth. And he says his kingdom will forever. So now we see Jesus Christ is saying the same prophecy what the Daniel said and educating his disciples that Son of Man will come in the cloud. And so Jesus Christ is coming in the cloud, and we know that. When Jesus Christ was going to heaven, and Paul says there were more than 500 people gathered to see him, and while he was going, and all the people were looking at him how he's going, then the two angels, he said, two men, that is in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. When you read that, there's two witnesses, two angels, were saying, why are you looking up? This same Jesus will come as you saw him going. He will come in the cloud. So now Jesus says he is coming in the cloud. The angel says he is coming in the cloud. Daniel says he is coming in the cloud. And then the John, who wrote the book of Revelation, in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, he says Jesus Christ is coming in the cloud. And then he says every eye will see him. The people who pierce him, they will see him. And the enemies will see, and they will start mourning. They will start crying. They will start weeping, because they know that Jesus Christ is coming to destroy the enemy. And I believe that devil knows that. And devil knows his time is very short. So he and his followers will be very panicked when Jesus Christ is coming. So now we saw from these scriptures that Jesus Christ is coming in the cloud. And every eye will see him. This was not possible when the Bible students, they were studying 50 years or 100 years ago, they didn't know how the every eye will see. But now we know this modern technology, and we know this satellite and cameras and televisions and so on, the internet. It is possible to every eye can see him when he's coming. And then when he's coming, there are three groups of people coming with him. So it's not written in one chapter. So we have to search in different chapters. Matthew chapter 25 verse 31, Jesus Christ was saying, when he comes with his glory, but he comes with the holy angels to establish his kingdom on this earth. So some people will say, oh, he is coming with the holy angels, so the bride is not with him. That's not so. When you read in Revelation chapter 19, he says he comes with his army. So when he comes with his army, And Jude says he comes with his saints. Jude chapter 1 verse 14 and 15. Now Jude gave his prophecy before the flood. And his prophecy did not fulfill yet. But it will fulfill when Jesus Christ comes. So the Jude was saying Jesus Christ is coming with his saints, with his army. And he is going to defeat the enemy. And he will destroy the enemies. And he will judge them. And Revelation, Saint John is saying, he is coming with his bride. Revelation chapter 9 is all about talking about his bride and the wedding and everything happens. And then he comes with his bride and he comes to destroy the enemy. And so when he comes, he says he comes with his army. And at the same time he says, when he comes, his robe will be dipped in blood. And so when you read that, and some people will say, you ask them a question, why his robe is dipped in blood? They will say, oh, because he died on the cross of Calvary, and that's the sign of the blood. No, that is not his blood. His blood, the word of God says, he took his blood, he entered into heaven, most heavenly place, and he kept the blood in the heaven. He is not flashing his blood on his body to tell the people that I'm the one who died for you, I'm coming. This blood was in his robe and on his clothes. That is the enemy's blood. So now we saw, first of all, he's coming in the cloud. Second thing we learn, he's coming with the holy angels. He's coming with his saints, like Jude says, and Jesus, and then Saint John is saying he's coming with his bride, or he's coming with the heavenly armies. And why he's coming? He's coming to destroy the enemy. He's coming to destroy the enemy and establish his 1,000 years kingdom. We will be learning that later on. So now we learn that when he comes, his garment, his robe, will be having the stain of blood. Now when you read in the book of Isaiah chapter 63 verses 1 to 3, the word of God says he is coming from the Basra. And he says his clothes are stained with the blood. Now here we see the revelation, his robe has a blood stain. And then we read in Isaiah 63 verses 1 to 3, when he is coming from Basra, then his clothes are having the blood stain or sprinkled with the blood. Now people do not know why he's going to the Basra. Because the word of God says in Zechariah, when he comes, he lands on the Mount of Olive, and Mount of Olive will be split into two. And then why he's going to Basra? But as I said earlier, the devil's destruction is coming. And his kingdom has to be destroyed. We learn in the early chapter in book of Revelation, chapter 17 and chapter 18. Chapter 17, we learn that the mystery Babylon, who is a spiritual Babylon, and the beast, they fight with each other, and beast destroys the mystery Babylon completely. He says he will eat her flesh and burn her, and take all of her things and make her naked. From that religious institution will be completely demolished or destroyed or burned down. And then we learn that the fifth bowls were poured upon his kingdom and his throne. So there was a darkness, there was a pain and suffering. So I think he ran for safety to going to a Babylon. Babylon is Persia, Iran and Iraq together will be called the Babylon. And if you read in the book of Zechariah, it says they were carrying him, the basket, and the basket were landed in the Shinar. Shinar is the old Babylon. So I believe that he will be going there, and so Jesus Christ goes after him, and we learn in the book of Revelation chapter 18 that Babylon will be destroyed and burned within a one day. And that particular time, I think his Babylon and Iraq is not too far from each other, and in Iraq there is a Basra. And who are these people living in there? They are all Muslims. They are all the enemies of Israel, and they are enemies of Christian and enemies of God's people. So he's coming to destroy those people. That's why the Isaiah is saying his clothes are stained with blood or sprinkled with the blood. And now it makes sense in Revelation chapter 19 when he comes, then he says his robe was dipped in blood. So that is not his own blood. This blood is enemy's blood. When you're reading in Revelation chapter 14, now the Revelation chapter 14, also so many people make some mistakes. I'm going to clarify this. It says there are two angels they are talking about. One angel looks like a son of man. And he says he is sitting on the cloud. And then he says he has the crown on his head. And so when he has crown in his head and he looks like a son of man and he's riding on the cloud, right away people think he is Christ. And they said, and in Revelation chapter 14 verse 14, it said he's in his hand there is a shekel. Now why I don't believe this is a son of man or son of God? Because if you compare with the chapter 14, this person whose angel looks like son of man had the golden crown and had the shekel in his hand and he's riding on the cloud. Sounds like Jesus, sounds like a son of man, but it's not. Why? Because in Revelation chapter 19, he comes with his bride. He doesn't have a shekel in his hand that time. He has sword in his mouth. Not only that, John gives his description, his 19th chapter. He says, when he comes, he is faithful, he is true, he is righteous, his eyes like a flaming fire, and he comes, and then he defeats the enemy. His name is the Word of God. And then he says, he will defeat the enemies, and he is the one who will trample with this wine press. And what these two angels are doing, they are coming from heaven and they are harvesting these enemies like a grapes and putting the grapes for the harvest or for the trampling and making juice. And the Word of God says Jesus Christ will be trampling on those grapes of those people, winepress. That's the call, a fierce wrath of God. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to show. And this Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 to 20, if you read, it says the blood will come out of this and it will be flowing with the horse's bridle as well as 1600 furlongs, it'll be flowing. So when you compare with the 19th chapter and 14th chapter, even though that angel looks like son of man, he is not the son of man. I'll give you another example. There are so many angels in the book of Revelation. Some angel stands in the sun. Some angel has the authority to bind the Satan. Some angels do so many great things. And John the Revelator got mixed up or got confused. Revelation chapter 19 verse 10 and Revelation chapter 20 verse 8 and 9. He testifies. He said he got confused and he started worshiping angel. And the angel said, don't worship me. Worship God. I'm just a fellow servant. From that we know those angels look like Christ to him. And he thought they are Jesus and he was going to worship them. That's the same thing happens in Revelation chapter 14 when we see the angel has the shekel in his hand and he has a golden crown and he's sitting on the cloud, it seems like a son of man. But there is another point there. If he's the son of man, he doesn't need anybody's order. He doesn't need somebody to tell him what to do. But in that chapter, another angel calls from the altar and he says, hey, thrust your shekel and do this and do that, and he gives him order. And so, no angel can give order to Jesus Christ how to kill the enemy and how to destroy the enemy. From those things, when I studied, I knew. Chapter 14, that angel looked like Jesus. He is not a Jesus, because Jesus cannot come twice to defeat the enemy, one time with a shekel and one time with the sword. And so bear in that your mind and you study. I'm not trying to change your mind. This is what I believe that Jesus Christ is coming, and even though he's using his sword from his mouth, actual sword he's not using. That means he's just speaking the words and things are happening. The sword of the Spirit or the word of God, we learn. So Jesus Christ comes with a sword, not with a shekel. And so sickle. So remember that thing. So when he comes, and when these two angels do the harvest and kill millions and millions of people around that area where the Battle of Armageddon is going to happen. And when these armies are killed, like grapes and wine press, and the blood will be flowing. And then the word of God says in Book of Revelation chapter 19, this will be supper for the great God. And this is the time God is calling all the birds of the world. He says, come and have a feast. And the birds will be coming from around the world. And what kind of birds will be? The dead bodies the birds eat, those birds called vultures. And Matthew chapter 24 verse 28, if you read, Jesus Christ was explaining why he's coming, and then said, remember, where the carcasses will be, there will be vultures gathered. I'm sorry, there will be eagles gathered. And when I was young, I didn't know what he was talking about. But today I know, the carcasses eagles do not eat. So what he's trying to say, he's saying when Jesus Christ comes and these angels will be killing hundreds of people like having sickles in their hand and harvesting, and he will be trampling in them, and that's the time he will be calling the birds, the vultures, to come and eat. That is Matthew chapter 24 verse 28. And then we read in the book of Ezekiel chapter 39 verse 17 to 20. He says the birds will be coming, the wild beast will be coming, and they will be eating the flesh and drinking the blood. So from that we know, when Jesus Christ is coming, there will be battle. People will be killing each other and destroying each other. Isaiah chapter 13 verses 9 to 11, he says that day is the day of darkness and day of wrath. So Jesus Christ is coming to establish his kingdom, millennial kingdom, but at the same time he wants to destroy the enemy. And that's why we see second coming, he's coming in the cloud, he's coming with his army, heavenly army, he's coming with his saints, and he's coming with his holy angels. So remember that, and he's coming in the cloud. So all these scriptures I gave it to you, please study them, and you will know that Jesus Christ is coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Before he comes, the situation will be very dark. The sun won't be giving light, the moon won't be giving light, the stars will be falling, the powers of heaven will be shaken. That's why the word of God says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, there is a kingdom, it's not going to be shaken. So one day we will be going to the eternal kingdom that is in heaven. Even the Daniel says that Jesus' kingdom will be forever. The angel came and said to the Mary, his kingdom forever. And many preachers and prophets says when Jesus Christ starts the kingdom on this earth, that will be forever. But it's not going to be forever, because we are going to go to the heavenly kingdom. And that's our hope. So the time is almost gone. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a chance to pray with me. Give your heart to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, we are learning the word of God. We want to be in your kingdom. We don't want to go into the tribulation, or we don't want to get left behind. So help us. So please pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. Touch me, Lord, and heal me, deliver me, and set me free. I promise you, I want to follow you. Give me grace to live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed this prayer, I believe in my heart your sins are forgiven, your name is written in heaven, and you belong to Jesus Christ. Now your responsibility to tell your friends, your wife, your mother, your children, and your friends, everyone, tell them what God has done. And let's pray. I'm going to pray for you and your family. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and everyone who is listening or watching this program, and they gave their heart to the Lord. Please bless them, bless their families. If there is someone sick, afflicted, and doctor told them there is no answer, touch them, heal them, deliver them, and set them free. I believe that you are a real God, a miracle-working God. Touch them and heal them. In Jesus' name we pray, and I call it done. Now, what you have to do, just find a church, go somewhere, and tell the people that you are born again. Now time is gone. May God richly bless you and use you more and more for His glory. Amen.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.